This is Renegade Broadcasting.
Happy Monday. Well, what do you know? Didn't know about it as of Friday's show. But I guess it was it on, Thursday? Yeah, I guess it was on Thursday. I didn't know about it until the next day, but the fake frickin' ISIS attack in France over in Nice. And then, of course, yesterday, there was another shootout, a police shooting of police, supposedly, in Baton Rouge. Oh, guys, it before it was like, you know, once a week. Now this is pretty much a daily basis, isn't it? They're really, really pushing it big time. Not just here, but abroad. All governments, all intelligence agencies are rigging these things because there's so much to be benefited from with them. The powers that you can gain. The way you can manipulate society. Oh, shit. The floodgates are wide open now. I'm not even going to... You know, you can't even keep up with it anyway. I'm not even going to bother. There's enough people out there talking about it. I'll cover the major ones, although you could argue that the Nice thing was pretty major, 86 supposed deaths. Major, at least as far as the impact of them. Not major in the events themselves. Nothing happened there, guys. It's once again, complete, absolute fraud. Interestingly enough, the Nice thing occurred within hours of the time that a declared state of emergency was due to run out, apparently from the attack back in November, I guess. France had declared a state of emergency. It was due to run out within hours of the attack. The attack just happened to occur a few hours before the state of emergency was to end. And so now, of course, it's renewed. And so all of those emergency powers are still in place and are going to remain in place now. You know, probably, again, I'm not going to do a whole show on this, but it's not even necessary. Just on this basis alone, the whole story fails the truth test right here. First of all, you know, I was looking at some pictures of the crime scene, and they show, in spite of the fact that they claim 86 deaths and, oh, over 100 other injured people, I only saw a few alleged bodies on the ground with, you know, sheets thrown over them, but no blood. There should have been piles of blood all over the place around these bodies. Puddles of blood. Not only that, but these nice clean white sheets, after being thrown over these alleged dead bodies, also had no blood soaking through them. The sheets are white. Check the pictures out for yourself. But here's the big clincher, a much bigger problem. Pictures of this white truck. White. If it was a black truck, it, you know, it wouldn't be such a big deal. You wouldn't see blood on a black truck necessarily, not so easily. But on a white truck, blood would show up very vividly, very clearly. There's no blood anywhere on the front or on the sides of this truck. All it shows is, the front end is a little damaged. You could tell that this truck hit something. That's it. But you would never get the impression that this truck even hit one person, let alone supposedly hundreds. Don't forget, only 86 are supposed to have been killed, but there was at least 100 others that were seriously wounded. So this truck was supposedly bashing into almost 200 people. There should be blood stains covering every square inch of the front of that truck, splattering up over the windshield. This should be, not to be gross, but literally, there should be clumps of human flesh meshed into the front grill of that truck. Blood everywhere. I had several people send me some interesting links, interesting pictures of, semis that have hit, for example, a deer. Blood all over the place, just covering the whole front of the truck. From one deer. And yet this truck supposedly, ran over almost 200 people. Where's the blood? Where's the goddamn blood? There isn't any. Not one single drop. That is absolutely impossible. People are so goddamn stupid. So gullible. Those people deserve the tyranny they're heading for. You deserve it. If you can't see that this shit is so goddamn fake, you deserve the draconian type of system that's being put in place. You do. You deserve it. The rest of us don't, but unfortunately, that's what we're all heading for. And it's mostly because of the idiotic, numbskull, ignoramus fools that can't tell their ass from their elbow and see this stuff for the bullshit that it is. I love it. One website that analyzed, somebody sent me a link, it analyzed the niece thing, exposing it as a fraud that it was. At the end, it had a little logo. It was pretty funny. It was a cartoon image of a bull, sitting on a toilet. It didn't require any explanation. Bullshit, ladies and gentlemen. That's all of this is. Bullshit. But notice this Baton Rouge thing yesterday. Again, getting the police theme in there once again. Just like with the Texas thing last week, the Dallas shooting, I guess there were some victims anyway with that. Yeah, every once in a while, we'll actually have, people dying. They don't just have crisis actors. They have their CIA-trained MK-Ultra-controlled assassins that do actually kill people so that you can have that realism effect added to it. See, people are really dying. These people who say these things are fake. This isn't fake. People died. Just because people die doesn't mean the thing isn't fake. People died on 9/11, didn't they? A lot of people died on 9/11. But that whole goddamn thing is as fake as a $3 bill. They're all fake, ladies and gentlemen. All of these events, every single last one of them. I was just talking with Sean before the show, and Sean was saying how I used to think these people were crazy when I would hear about people going on rampages and You know, there was one story, for example, of several years ago, this guy, this story is true. They didn't fake this. This guy got so angry with his former employer, he went into the office and shot it up, you know, killed several people, apparently his boss and, you know, some other administrative staff. You know what, guys? I can't call that person crazy. I can't. I call the system crazy that drove him to do that. I don't condone violence. Don't get me wrong. However, at the same time, if we knew the circumstances, we could probably take a pretty goddamn good guess at what the circumstances were. But if we knew what the circumstances were, I don't care what the law says. The guy was probably justified. I personally don't condone it. I wouldn't do that myself. I don't, you know. Although, who knows? If I was pushed over the edge enough, I don't know. Situations sometimes do call for that type of thing, guys. Like, look at the Ludlow Massacre. Here's a good example right there. Bravo. Freaking bravo for them. That was justified outrage. Justified rampage. Absolutely. God damn it. Yes. Yep. Not one of the people involved in burning those houses to the ground were guilty of any wrongdoing. When you realize what was done to them, to their families, to their wives, to their kids. For those that aren't familiar with it, back in, I think it was 1914, there was a strike, a miners' strike that went on in Ludlow, Colorado. And for several days, there was this big standoff, and next thing you know, the government sends in some National Guard troops. And the strikers thought that the troops were being sent in on their behalf, to get the company to, you know, to concede to some of their demands, which their demands were totally justified. They were being overworked, underpaid, taking advantage, of the workers, exploiting the Christ out of them, like so many employers today. It was a Rockefeller-owned establishment, too, I must add. These poor miners didn't realize the Rockefeller bastards had the government in their pocket, always have, and that the government was showing up there to protect the interests of the Rockefellers, not the strikers. Anyway, to make a long story short, and we got a caller on the line. I'll get there in a minute. To make a long story short, the National Guard started opening fire on the tent community. They had their wives and kids there. They also set fire to many of the tents. When it was all said and done, several of the wives, along with some of the children, died in the fires. So, you know, a few days later, they waited, you know, for the dust to settle. When they least expected it, they went in and they burned to the ground several homes of the miners, of the owners of the mine. Not the Rockefellers. Oh, no, they were well protected over in New York. But, you know, the local mine owners. I don't blame them, goddammit. That's not a crime. I don't care what the law says. Fuck the law. That, by the way, they didn't do anything to them. The local police were petrified because they knew damn well if they went after these people, their houses would probably burn down too. That's called justice. That's justice. When the law, quote unquote, doesn't step in to protect the interests of people getting fucked by big money and big government, then the system itself is illegal. Fuck the system. So anyway, me and Sean were talking about how it's amazing that you don't hear more stories. Maybe there are and they're just not reporting them. I'm just amazed there aren't more stories of people going on rampages. It's called for with the shit that's going on in our world today. It's called for. It would be justified. Anyway, I think is that you, Sean?
Yes, it is. How you going, Charles?
Hey, what's happening?
Oh, mate, you've hit the nail on the head yet again. This is why I love listening to your show. I tell you, you know, here's the thing, Charles. We're given a set of emotions when we're born. And they're not emotions that are set out to us by government or even set out to us by our mothers. They're set out to us by nature. By nature, we have sadness, we have happiness, we have angriness, so on and so forth. But we're being told left and right that we're not allowed to be angry. We're not allowed to show one of those natural emotions, which I think plays a huge part in why we burst. Think about it. Our kids are presented to fluoride. They're presented to chemtrails. They're being poisoned by GMO and all of these. Then all of a sudden, one of the kids die of vaccinations. You get a parent that goes absolutely fucking crazy, just goes absolutely batshit crazy out on the streets and started shooting people, not because he wants to shoot innocent people, because he's just totally lost his shit because he lost one of his or his only child.
Yeah.
And he's being told at the same time, oh, you're not allowed to have that emotion called anger. Is it any wonder we are in the dire straits that we are? No, you're absolutely right, and this is why we were having a discussion before the show. You know, I love my children to the ends of the earth, and I would never wish them gone, ever. But I've got to ask myself sometimes, if I could go back in time, would I have redone what I'd done? Would I have mated to have children again? I'm not so fucking sure. This world is screwed.
Yeah. I love my kids, but I sometimes regret having brought them into this world, seeing how fucked up it is. They have no future. There is no future.
That's right. That's right. I mean, if there's no future for us, you and I, and we're, I mean, you're getting on, I'm even getting on, I'm in my 40s. I mean, if there's no future for us, no matter how hard we fight, and we will fight, I mean, obviously we will because we're here doing it now, we will continue to fight. No one's going to get stabbed and just let it happen. If you get stabbed, you're going to get up, you can take the knife out and stuff it up their ass. But the thing is, if we don't have a future, what sort of a future do they hold? You're absolutely right, Charles. Thanks for taking my call, mate.
Hey, you bet. Thank you, buddy. Yeah. You know, like I said, maybe these things are happening and they're not reporting them, or maybe they aren't happening and the powers that be are frustrated because they're obviously pushing us over the edge. They want us to do this. That's what sucks. That's what's really, really sucks. And because people aren't doing this, apparently, they're staging fake events to give the impression that they are. I think that's what's happening. Why they're staging so many of them, because it hasn't been happening. Well, we're just going to have to fake them. Either way, we got to get our power trip going here. I guess the pharmaceuticals have done their job. They've numbed people so much that their defense mechanisms aren't kicking in. The anger management classes have worked too well. People aren't going on rampages, which they should be. This system is fucking us royally. You can't survive. Every time I go in the grocery store, I constantly hear people talking about how disgusted they are. Look at these prices. This is ridiculous. I've never seen anything. It's crazy. It is crazy. It is ridiculous. It's fucking outrageous. That's another reason why grocery bags now are the small little plastic bags with the handles. You don't see the, those aren't even recyclable, goddammit, at least in most towns. Most towns won't recycle those. They're very difficult to recycle. It doesn't make sense, does it, in this age of recycling? Why aren't they using easily recyclable, paper bags? That used to be the standard. Every time you went grocery shopping, you always were given, you know why they do that? So it looks like you're getting more for your money. Smaller bags. See, you've got 5 bags of groceries that used to fill 1 or 2 big paper bags. It's all part of the big mind fuck. Just like, you know, instead of raising the prices, let's just shrink the size of the bottle or the bag of potato chips or whatever. That's what they're doing. Or they keep the bag the same size, but they fill it with more air, getting less and paying more. That's the name of the game. A hell of a lot more are we paying. That's just one angle, but a very big one. Groceries. Unbelievable, guys. It's through the fucking roof. Hundreds of dollars a month for groceries. Hundreds of dollars a month for your car payment. Over $1,000, sometimes over $2,000 a month for your goddamn mortgage. Hey! And then you could easily spend $800, $1,000 a month for goddamn oil, depending on the size of your house, you know, in the wintertime to heat your house. Oh, shit, yeah. My brother has a big house. He spends about $800 a month for oil. Every time he fills his tank. What the hell is wrong with that picture? That on top of the massive mortgage, the big ass car payments. How in the fuck? We're getting pushed to the edge, ladies and gentlemen. And again, because they're not seeing people going postal, they're faking these events to justify the big power grab. They're hoping to actually push average people off the edge and then use that as the excuse. But apparently it's not happening. People are so dumbed down, doped up. They're not doing what they're trying to get them to do. But that's what sucks. Even if people were, you know, going off the deep end, if these shootings were real, they'd be justified, wouldn't they? People snapping because they're so damn disgusted that they've been playing by the rules and getting fucked anyway. So even if these shootings were real, they're going to use them against society. So, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. What a fucking mess. They've got it so completely rigged, don't they? They've got it totally fucking rigged. So if you're aware of what's going on and try to expose it, you're a crazy conspiracy nut. If you snap and go off the deep end, oh, you're a fanatic psycho. We got to pass laws now to restrict people's rights because of you people going mad when we drove you mad. No matter what your reaction is, they got the whole fucking thing rigged, don't they? Oh, it's so nice. What a fucking mess, man. Well, I mentioned Friday that I was going to hopefully start today with G-rating. So much for that. How can you uphold a G-rating when this whole friggin' mess is just so thoroughly rigged? God damn it. It's so disgusting. I've known since 1991, shortly after the Gulf War, the first one, I've known that this system was completely screwed. I didn't know it was as screwed as much as I do now. Took me a while to realize just how bad things were. But, you know, I started finding out about the conspiracy for world government way back then, 25 years ago, half my life ago. And yet, little did I know how rapidly things were going to play out. I knew it was coming, but I saw how the progression of the thing, or should I say digression, was gradual. It had been occurring slowly over, you know, the past several hundred years since the days of Bishop. I mean, this dream was in place long before that, but it started whipping into higher gear in his era. Anyway, so I saw how the progression had been slow. So I figured, well, it's pretty much going to keep going that way, or maybe that was just wishful thinking on my part. I was hoping it was going to continue going that way. But lo and behold, guys, oh, no. In the past 25 years, far more progress has been made than what was made in the previous 200 years. Things are moving exponentially faster than ever. I mean, it's just in frickin' high gear. We're almost there. There really isn't much left to be done, is there? We're almost living under a full tyrannical global system of absolute despotic control. And we have a populace which, for the most part, has its head wedged so far up its ass, there's no waking them up, there's no rallying them behind, you know, the cause of truth, to resist this thing. No, no, no. In fact, as I look out at the alert crowd, unfortunately, even among them, the ones who are aware, there's not much happening. Now, on the one hand, you know, what can you do? What can you do? But my point is, most of the people that you wake up, they might come around and realize, oh yeah, shit, this system is friggin' corrupt to the core. Most of them, though, aren't even going to try to wake others up. They're just going to pretend that they never heard it. They know it's true. They acknowledge it, but they don't want to deal with it. They don't know how to deal with it. I don't know, but. Far too many people, you know, don't want to risk anything, so they're just going to keep their mouths shut. They're not going to try to wake others up. I don't understand that. How can you not want to wake people up once you see the shithole for what it is? How can you not want to blast that trumpet loudly for all to hear? But that is how, that's the tact most people take. That's how most people react. Hide their head in the sand. So when you get that kind of thing going on, it's just rolling out the red carpet for things to get worse and worse. It doesn't look good, guys. It doesn't look good. It really doesn't. I envy my grandfather and now my mother, you know, having left this world. I do. I'm not on a death wish, don't get me wrong, but I envy them. They, you know, they checked out before it got too bad. I envy them. Yeah, I wish I was born a generation earlier so I could have lived in relative peace on this shithole and checked out before it. Unfortunately, it's looking like I am, and indeed the rest of us, are going to live through the worst era. We're pretty much there already, but it's going to get a lot worse. We're going to live through the worst era in all recorded human history, except for maybe those that lived through the great flood. Although, in some ways, maybe we're even worse off than they are. I don't know. But what we're heading for, guys, as far as, human-induced trauma and tragedy, we are in the worst era in all of human history right now. And what we're headed for is going to get even worse. Because never has there been, so much as we can tell from the limited historical record we have, there's never been an era like this where the entire planet is being held hostage, enslaved under one cohesive tyrannical system. This is so goddamn disgusting. Anyway, I'm rambling enough here. I already burned off a quarter of the show. But these goddamn shootings, guys, they're really, really, really upping the ante, aren't they? These damn things are happening constantly. They want to drill into people's heads that, see, these things are happening all the time now. Before, they were stretched out over several years. Still fake, but, stretched out. Now, they're happening almost on a daily basis. Hey, we got a short break. All right, guys, welcome back. I was just told by Sean there's actually a call-in number for Australian listeners. First, let me mention the regular number, as many of you already know, but the regular call-in number, if anybody has any comments or questions, suggestions, whatever, negative or positive, unless you're an obnoxious Bible dope and you're going to get the click within 3.2 seconds, maybe 1.2 seconds. Anyway, the regular number is 747-222-8807 here in the U.S. For Aussie listeners, it's 088-121-4481. And I really got to remember to mention that every once in a while. Once again, for U.S. callers, 747-222-8807. Land Down Under. It's 088-121-4481. And while I'm at it, let me mention my email address, too, once again. Anybody has any comments, questions, or requests for show notes, whatever, it's truthhurtsradio@AOL.com, spelling hurts like megahertz, H-E-R-T-Z. truthhurtsradio@AOL.com. Anyway, I wish more people had the blend of personality that I have. My mother was very easygoing, as I've mentioned, almost too easygoing. In fact, she was too easygoing. I would get frustrated with her sometimes if she didn't tell people off. And so, you know, very often I would tell them off for her. But, you know, so I'm glad that I got that instilled in me from her, though, this idea of being patient with people and giving them a second chance. But I also have the opposite of that instilled in me from my father, who had a very short temper. I've got a blend of both. Unfortunately, though, sometimes the short temper kicks in. That can be a good thing, but sometimes it can get you in trouble, too. I don't get physical. I never, you know, as I mentioned once, I think I only got physical once. I only got in one fight my whole life. But, you know, the kid begged for it. And even though he begged for it, I actually felt bad later. I felt kind of guilty. But then when I heard what a scumbag he really was to everybody, he was hated in his neighborhood, I felt good for him for that reason. But I still felt bad because I pounded him pretty good. You know, it's just not in me to do that. I'm not one to get physical. And anyway, my point is sometimes that perfect blend gets imbalanced too much in the wrong way. You know, my temper, which manifests itself really almost without exception, just with verbalizations. Like I said, the only time I ever got physical was that one time when I think I was 19 or 20. I never get physical. But I do get pretty obnoxious verbally. When I'm mad, my way of lashing out is to say things that, I really don't mean at the time. I'm just so pissed off. And if someone really offends me, my tactic is to doubly offend them back. And so I'll say things that really cut to the core, that really hurt, only because I'm feeling upset at the time. And, you know, that's just my way of counteracting. Me being made so upset, if someone offends me, I'm gonna like go the extra mile and offend them twice as bad. I don't really mean what I say at the time. I'm just burning off steam. You understand? But unfortunately, sometimes I get out of hand and I don't even think of what I'm saying at the time. I just let my mouth run wild. Anyway, I did that yesterday. Kind of fucked things up with my girlfriend. And, I'm famous. That open mouth, insert foot. So, I'm hoping things are going to patch up. I'm also out $60 for the flowers I had to send. If only, you could see ahead of time where your actions are going to lead. Not always good at controlling my temper. I mean, like I said, I control it to the point where I don't get physical. But yeah, I do say things I later regret. It's a very bad trait I have. That's the father side of me that I inherited. I wish I took more after my mother. Yeah, she never, ever, I never got upset. It's unbelievable. I mean, people could shit all over her, and very often did, because she was so easygoing. People took advantage of that, and I've seen her get shit on over and over all through her life, She never got upset. She was always ready, willing, and anxious to forgive. You know, even my father was pretty nasty to her, folks. Very nasty. I won't even go into the details, but he was very nasty to her. Even the judge, when she went to file for divorce, he couldn't believe. He saw how he was treating her, even in the courtroom. And, you know, she was expressing how she didn't want the divorce, and she was hoping that he was going to come back, you know, blah, blah, blah. The judge even said in the courtroom, he says, "Ma'am, I have to tell you, I've been doing divorce proceedings for decades, and I've never seen the likes of someone like you. I just can't believe that you would want someone back like this, who treats you the way he does, talks to you so disrespectful the way he does." You know, she still loved him. That was my mother. You know, the incarnation of love. I wish I had a little more of that in me. Not too much, though, because... She had it to such an extreme, she never got mad at people. You do need to get mad. I'm glad I have some of my father in me, but I wish I had a little bit less of that because, it gets me in trouble sometimes. Anyway, if you're like me, guys, if you have a temper, you tend to shout off with your mouth. Be very careful. Don't do that with people that you love, that love you. There are people that are worthy of blowing up on, but not people like that. God damn it. Find some other way to, I tend to get too emotional, you know. I might have good reason for getting upset with somebody, but when it's somebody that you love, you gotta watch out. I'm not very good with communication skills when I'm upset. I'm not good with that at all. God damn it. In the moment, the heat of the moment when you're angry, it's just so easy to fly off the handle. And you can very easily, irreparably, break things up. It's just a bad scene. Anyway, let's pick up where we left off. I just got a couple more. Well, I'm going to finish this set of notes, and then I got one more dealing with numerology, and then we'll be off onto some very, very interesting stuff. I've got some mind-blowing stuff coming up that I've been working on, and some other stuff that I haven't even touched yet. I got to get going here. The ideas are mounting. Like I said, I wish I could read and type faster. Jesus, man. I've got... And then, of course, there's the book project. Once again, now I'm putting that on hold just because I've got so many great ideas. I want to get them down on paper before I get working on the book again. These are great. I've got a series coming up. American Revolution, of course, I've dealt with that quite a bit in the past, but I'm coming at it from some different angles, adding much more important dimensions to it. What a scam. So many quote truthers refer back to that era and claim that they want to return us back to those good old days. Oh, no question. The earlier back in our country's history we go, the better things were for most people, anyway. Yeah, we had more rights, more freedoms, and people were, generally speaking, more decent. So in that sense, yeah, I wish we could return to those days. But guys, it's never been, it never was what we thought it was, what so many truthers think it was. No. The founding fathers, almost without exception, were scum of the earth. They didn't give a damn about rights and freedoms. And as we'll see, the Constitution was written in such a way that really it's just window dressing, only the illusion, only the appearance of wanting to secure rights for all. That was never really their intention, ever. Oh, yeah, there were some anti-federalists who genuinely wanted freedom, but they weren't the ones that held sway. They didn't own all the printing houses and they didn't have the real reins of power. There were a few that were up there, you know, higher up the ladder, but they didn't have the control that the Federalists did. They were the ones calling the shots, the Freemasons. They were the ones that really framed the whole damn Constitution, and we're going to break it down in coming days or weeks or whatever. You know, we're going to look at that much more closely and see what a frickin' scam the whole damn thing is. Been duped about that one, too. You got the Bible dupes who think that the Founding Fathers were Christians and now we've fallen away from that Christian heritage. Yeah, whatever, man. That's a bunch of BS. As if that would matter anyway. Religion doesn't mean a frickin' thing, but the truth is none of them were Christian. But, you know, it's just another lie. Whatever floats your boat. If you think Christianity is something good, okay, they were Christian. If you think that, you know, patriotism, the way they want you to think, the way they want you to define that word, you think patriotism is something good? Yes, the Founding Fathers were true patriots. They didn't give a shit. Their agenda was power, just like our puppet leaders today. That's all they ever cared about. More money and more power in their hands. So they used the rhetoric about how evil the King of England was, you know, how evil the British government was, just so you would rally behind them. Same crap today, right? Our government for decades on end has been talking about how evil this, that, and the other foreign leader was, so that you'd rally behind your phony ass picking frickin' scumbag ass picking finger licking leader. Churches do the same thing, don't they? They love to point fingers at other churches and say that they're false churches. We're the true one. You're all full of shit. I used to fall for that rhetoric true, too. You know, the true church. Adventism is big for that. You know, they claim they're the true church. What the hell does that mean? None of them are true. How could they be? The whole goddamn religion is a freaking fraud. But so many of them play that game. We're the true one. You're the false one. We're the ones that are, you know, telling the truth. You guys are lying. You're spreading false doctrine. Just to make themselves look good. Anyway, we're talking about the number 13 on Friday as a bad luck number. But 13, in some cases, has also been considered a good luck number. In Sikhism, for example, the number 13 is considered a special number since 13 is Tera in Punjabi, which also means yours, as in I am yours, O Lord. So it has a good connotation to it. Anyway, the legend goes that when Guru Nanak Dev was taking stock of items as part of his employment with a village merchant, according to the legend, he counted from 1 to 13 in Punjabi, as one does normally, and thereafter he would just repeat Tera, Tera, since all items were, you know, God's creation, so he would only count up to 13. The numbers after that didn't matter. 13 was the ultimate. It was the ultimate good number. The numbers after that didn't count, you know, according to this legend. Anyway, in the world of sports, the number 13 has sometimes been considered a lucky number as well. But we'll come back to that in a little bit. I'll be talking about some sports numbers shortly. In Italy, 13 is also considered to be a lucky number. Although in Campania, the expression tredici, meaning 13, is said when one considers their luck to have turned for the worse. So it also has a negative connotation, at least in that part of Italy. Colgate University also considers 13 to be a lucky number. It was founded in 1819 by 13 men with $13, 13 players, and 13 articles. How much you want to bet? That's because of the Freemason factor. In Freemasonry, 13 is, in fact, not only an important number, but apparently a magical one at that. Look at all the 13s on the back of the $1 bill, for example. The obviously Freemasonic $1 bill loaded with symbols. But the number 13 features constantly in the back of the $1 bill. To this day, members of the Colgate community consider the number 13 as a good omen. In fact, the campus address is 13 Oak Drive in Hamilton, New York, and the all men a cappella group is called the Colgate 13. So, again, there's got to be a big-time Freemason factor involved with that. Freemasonry plays in big, of course, you know, in the corporate world, all the corporate symbolism, guys, almost always has some connotation to, you know, to Freemasonry, some direct or indirect reference to some Masonic symbol. Done whole shows on that in the past. In the Mayan Zolkin calendar, Tresenas mark is in cycles of 13-day periods. The pyramids also set up are set up in 9 steps, divided into 7 days and 6 nights. 13 days total. Most of the pyramids operate that way. Anyway, I mentioned in sports number 13 popping up. Let's take a look at that. There are 13 players in a rugby league team. Also in rugby, Union 1 of the centers, most often but not always the outside center, wears the number 13 shirt. So, you see that number popping up over and over again. Geez, I can't remember now if I did this show or not. I put some notes together on baseball and the numerology involved with that, and the symbolism as well, the very shape of the baseball field. I think I did do that, and the Masonic overtones to that. I can't remember now. Let me just take me a second to look here. I'm curious if I already did that or not. No, I didn't, actually. Son of a gun. I thought I did. Yeah, we're going to look at that. I don't know when. I'll get around to it one of these days. Yeah, I put an interesting set of notes together, I don't know, a couple months back. I think that's why it's fresh in my mind. I just put the notes together recently. I was thinking I broadcast it already. No, I haven't. I'll have to do that soon. Masonry is baseball is loaded, guys, with Masonic symbolism, numerology, the whole thing. It's unbelievable. The whole damn thing. We'll get into that on a future show. Anyway, several successful sports figures have worn the number 13, of course. Ozzie Gillen, manager of the 2005 World Series champion Chicago White Sox, has worn the number throughout his baseball career. Alex Rodriguez began wearing it upon joining the New York Yankees. 3, the number he had previously worn, is retired by the Bronx Bombers to honor Babe Ruth, by the way. My brother is a big-time baseball card collector since he was a kid. He has pretty much every card he ever had owned since he was a kid. Over the years, he's picked up quite a few very rare cards. He's got quite the collection. He has an original Babe Ruth card. That thing's got to be worth some bucks. Anyway, Chris Mullen, who wore number 20 in college and 17 in the NBA, wore number 13 for both of his Olympic appearances in 1984 and 1992. Shaquille O'Neal wore 13 in 1996. Tim Duncan wore 13 in 2004. Steve Nash is currently wearing it, as a few years ago for the Phoenix Suns. On and on it goes. Anyway, I don't need to belabor this too much here. This is just kind of a side note, point of interest. If you want the notes, I got quite a few other names I mentioned here, but it's really not necessary. But let's look at the number 13 in other fields. It pops up quite a bit in various other fields. It's the number of colonies, of course, that formed the United States. That's not random, ladies and gentlemen. That was done on purpose. Like I said, number 13 is very big in Freemasonry. The founding fathers, like it or not, almost without exception, were frickin' Freemasons. So, you know, you see the number 13 and the symbolism all over the back of the dollar bill. Yeah, 13 colonies. They did it on purpose. 13 stripes on the flag. On it goes. The original flag, of course, had 13 stars. Let's see. Every time a new state was added, you know, more stripes were added to the flag to the point now where, we've got 50. Stars were added, so now we've got 50 stars. But they kept the original 13 stripes, though. 13 is the number of guns in a gun salute to U.S. Army, Air Force, and Marine Corps Major Generals. And Navy and Coast Guard Rear Admiral's upper half as well. 13 guns. That's not by accident, guys. The number of loaves in a baker's dozen is 13. There's traditionally 13 steps leading up to a gallows. Did you know that? That's interesting. Apparently, it's an urban legend which states that there's 13 turns in a hangman's noose. There's most commonly 8 turns, as it turns out. Not 13. Anyway, Rondeau is a poem with 13 lines, in some variants anyway. Julius Caesar crossed the Rubicon with the 13th Legion, marking the beginning of Caesar's civil war and the eventual death of the Roman Republic. No telling how far back the number 13 holding a high position in the occult world, you know, how far that actually goes. It does appear to go back to very ancient times, though. The number 13 is used to identify members of 13th Serranos, Chicano gang members in the U.S. that identify themselves with La Im or the Mexican Mafia. One of the 13 figures in there as well. In the mythology of the TV program Battlestar Galactica, many of you, I'm sure, remember that, Earth was the 13th colony lost after humanity left their planet of origin, Cobol, and then created the 12 colonies. So, sure enough, in Hollywood, naturally, in Thailand, the traditional Thai New Year is on April 13th. But it's more 13 guys with Mark Walsh. I'm back to the club. All right, buddy. Welcome back. On and on it goes with the 13s. 13 steps, quote unquote, is a paragraph of the final document agreed by consensus of the 2000 review conference of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Just happens to be 13 steps. What? Once again, guys, 13 steps, it's a little play on words. It's referring to the 13 steps on the pyramid in the back of the frickin' $1 bill. 13 steps. In the television series House, Dr. Rennie Hadley is nicknamed 13, the number that she was assigned in competition to fill the three vaccines in the title character's diagnostic team in season 4. 13. Unbelievable. In the shoujo manga Fruits Basket, 13 members of the Salma family are cursed with the 12 animal spirits of the Chinese zodiac, plus the cat who was, according to the legend, left out of the zodiac. So number 13 is big there, too. 13 is the number of the French department Bouches-du-Rhône. The Midnighter's Trilogy by Scott Westerfield is a book entirely based on the number 13. All the spells are based on 13-letter words. The houses all have 13-pointed stars at the doorways. The town where it takes place, Bixby, Oklahoma, has 13 letters, on and on it goes. Before the plot was foiled, there were 13 plotters in the gunpowder plot, folks. Isn't that interesting? I can't remember now if I did that show yet. I put some notes together on that a while back. I've talked about it off and on different shows. What a fraud that was. That was one of the first fiascos our little tribal friends played out in England in the 17th century leading up to so-called Jewish emancipation in England, you know, when they got their foot back at the door, having been thrown out since 1290, which led, by the end of that century, to the creation of the Bank of England. Yes. So there was a number 13 figuring in heavy with that. About Apollo 13, this was supposedly the only unsuccessful Apollo mission by NASA intended to land men on the moon. Yeah, whatever. Of all the Apollo missions, 11 right on up to 17, the only one we're supposed to believe that didn't succeed was Apollo 13. That's the one that was slated to be unsuccessful. Are you kidding me? Come on. NASA's big into occult Freemasonic symbolism, don't forget. Jesus, all over the damn place, up the ass. In fact, supposedly, who was it, Armstrong, and I think some other astronauts too, did Masonic rituals, we're told, on the lunar surface, i.e. the Hollywood stage where the films were shot. But, you know, a Masonic ritual performed, oh, a lot of the names they assigned to different lunar locations, you know, Sea of Tranquility, all have Masonic overtones for you. Anyway, Apollo, back to Apollo 13, the explosion of an oxygen tank on board is what thwarted that mission, we're told, what ruined it. It occurred on April 13th of 1970. three astronauts returned safely, we're told. But the mission itself, you know, had flopped. Apollo 13 flops on April 13th. Interestingly, this craft was launched on April 11th at 1300 hours military time. So there's another 13. In the manga series Black Cat, the main character, Train Hartnett, has the Roman numeral 13 on his chest. Jason Robert Brown's hit Broadway musical 13 stars a cast of 13 teenagers. Imagine that. Anyway, let's see here. The Korean boy band Super Junior features 13 people. In the video game series Kingdom Hearts, it was a group called Organization 13. In this game, Roxas, the nobody of the central protagonist Sora, is given the number 13 upon joining the organization's ranks. In the Philadelphia Mummers Parade, the Hegemon String Band, Hegemon, that's an interesting name, was 13th in line for judging in 2011. How about this one? McDonald's logo with its golden arches, when tipped on its side, forms the number 13. Two golden arches, and then underneath you've got the bar going across saying McDonald's. Tip it on its side, though. It is a number 13. Right in your face. Is that done on purpose? Yeah, I'm sure it is. Corporate logos always have some occult theme, sometimes very obvious, sometimes not so obvious. Yeah, I mentioned the dollar bill before. Let's look at it in some detail, because the number 13 pops up there quite a few times. More than most people realize. The Great Seal was added to the back of the $1 bill under FDR, a 32nd degree Mason, of course, in 1935. I think Wallace specifically was the one that introduced it. Yeah, you know, it had been around, the Great Seal, since the 18th century, the founding of this country, but wasn't included in the back of the bill until 1935. And I believe Wallace himself was a 33rd degree Mason. Anyway, let's look at some of the occurrences on the back of the bill, number 13. There's the pyramid, which again has 13 levels. Yeah, 13 steps, if you will. Anuit Coeptus has 13 letters, which has been translated announcing the birth of. Birth of what? The New World Order. I guess it can also be translated as he is pleased, or he is pleased with the New World Order, Novus Ordo Seclorum. The he would be, of course, the great architect of Freemasonry. The eagle on the back of the $1 bill has 13 arrows in its left talon. Above the eagle are 13 stars, which form the shape of the Star of David, another major occult symbol. In the right talon of the eagle is a twig that has 13 olive leaves and 13 olives. These form a triangle over the eagle with a number 13 on each point. There's 13 stripes on the shield in front of the eagle. And then finally, E Pluribus Unum. Above the eagle's wings has 13 letters. Anyway. So, as you can see, tons of 13s there. Speaking of Freemasonry, the number 13, seeing that Freemasons had such a profound influence on the establishment of the United States, again, it shouldn't surprise us to discover that July 4th is exactly 13 days after the summer solstice on June 21st. There's your need for July 13th to have been the Day of Independence. Don't forget, guys, the Day of Independence, all of it was rigged. So it's going to have a cult symbology to it, of course, a cult connotation. Nothing, just like today, all these events occur on numerologically significant days. So it was back then. This has been going on a long freaking time. Anyway, the pyramid on top of the Washington Monument, the big giant penis there, big phallic symbol, the obelisk, that pyramid at the very top of the Washington Monument also has 13 courses, just like on the back of the dollar bill. 13 makes an appearance in the Bible, too, of course. In Genesis 14:4, for example, we read, 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and the 13th year they rebelled. So here, 13 carries the connotation of rebellion. Isn't that interesting? They're the rebels, of course, against decency, against all of society. So it's only fitting they're fascinated with this number. Revelation chapter 13 deals with the dreadful beast power, whose number is 666, the Antichrist. You know, we talked about that, I don't know, a couple months back. Chapter 13. I should do a whole show on that sometime. Why chapters and verses are broken up the way that they were. Numerology plays into that pretty heavily, too. Maybe I'll get into that sometime. You got to love it how Bible dupes think that, you know, the translators were just as inspired, whatever that means, as the original writers were, you know. Are you freaking kidding me? What a joke. Especially in modern times, guys. I don't think I did that show either. No, I don't think I did. I'll have to do that at some point here coming up. I put notes together years ago on modern translations. You know, like the NIV, for example, based on two main manuscripts, the Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus. But there's a big occult theme that runs through, you know, the work that was done on these texts, the result of which is called, you know, the Westcott-Hort text. Westcott and Hort were two 19th century occultists. You know, they were into, amongst other things, necromancy, and yeah, it's unbelievable. Today, the NIV, I believe, is even more popular than the King James Version. Not that it matters, they all suck, they're all a joke, but my point is, most Bible dupes believe that the NIV is so sacred now that they even revere it more than the King James. It's become the standard Bible. And yet, the whole damn thing was put together by occultists. Even Madame Blavatsky endorsed the Westcott-Hort text. They were compadres of hers, if you will, fans of Blavatsky. That's an interesting discussion. I'll do a show on that sometime. Already put the notes together. Very, very interesting. Just another thing you can throw in the face of obnoxious pain in the ass Bible dupes. can mess with them when they're quoting to you from the NIV like it's so sacred. You could ask them, you know, do you know who put that together? Do you know who Westcott and Hort actually were? Oh, they were incredibly evil bastards. But that's for another show. Anyway, that concludes our discussion on the number 13. Next, we'll look at the number 23, and then after that, 666, and then we'll be done with the numerology thing for now, anyway. The number 23, in fact, in quotes, the number 23 was the title of a popular 2007 Hollywood film. It was based around the premise that this number had an almost magical significance to it. The premise of this movie isn't so fictional, however. This number pops up all over the place. Apparently, it has great significance for some reason. Anyway, let's take a look at it. You see this number reoccurring. Occultists love this number. It appears in astronomy. The Earth's axis is tilted 23 degrees. Well, it's actually 23, roughly. The axis of Mars is also tilted at roughly the same angle. Asteroid researchers measuring the rotation periods of asteroids, geez, I can't talk this morning, reported that none were found with periods of less than 2.3 hours. Rotation period of less than 2.3 hours would cause them to be torn apart. So there's your number 23, sort of, anyway, 2.3, associated with asteroids. The dog days of summer begin on July 23rd when the star Sirius in the constellation of Orion first arises from behind the sun. On the evening of March 23rd, 1997, in the U.S., Comet Hale-Bopp was at its closest approach to Earth. At this same time, there was also a lunar eclipse, and Mars was also at the closest distance to Earth. So that's interesting, all occurring around the number 23. Anyway. At this same time, there was also a lunar eclipse in Mars. Oh, yeah, I just mentioned that. Didn't I? Sorry about that. Let's look at the number 13 in science in general. 23 is the atomic number of vanadium. It's also the atomic mass number of the stable isotope of sodium. Normal human sex cells have, of course, 23 chromosomes. Other human cells have 46 chromosomes arranged in 23 pairs. So 23 figures big in biology. It takes 23 seconds for blood to circulate through the human body. That's pretty amazing if you stop and think about that. 23 seconds. Less than half of a minute for any blood cell at random, any given blood cell to circulate through the entire body. That's pretty impressive. It doesn't even seem possible, does it? But yeah, that's wow. The biorhythm cycle is generally 23 days. The average human lifespan is 23,000 days. The number of joints in the human arm is 23. There's 23 days in the male sex cycle, according to tantrists. On average, every 23rd wave crashing to shore is twice as large as the average wave. Somebody was pretty bored sitting watching that to come up with that. Anyway, look in the world of mathematics. The sum of the first 23 primes is 874, which is divisible by 23, a property shared by a few other numbers. 23 also has the distinction of being one of the two integers that cannot be expressed as the sum of fewer than 9 cubes of integers. The other is 239. But notice that number contains a quote 23 as well. According to the birthday paradox, in a group of 23 or more randomly chosen people, the probability is more than 50% that some pair of them will have the same birthday. There were 23 problems on David Hilbert's famous list of unsolved mathematical problems presented to the International Congress of Mathematicians in Paris in 1900. 23 problems. 23, a prime number, is made up of the first two prime numbers, 2 and 3. And then finally, there are 23 atoms in Euclid's geometry. 23 axioms. I actually didn't like geometry. I took it in high school, but I didn't like it. I don't know why. I hated it. I liked the concept of it, and I wanted to learn a lot of the formulas, you know, for figuring out the parameter of a whatever, or the circumference of a circle, or, you know, whatever. It's good to know those formulas, or figuring out volumes of different size containers, you know, whatever. That can come in handy. But I absolutely hated the postulates and the theorems. You had to memorize them, and then you had to do the proofs, and you had to go through every single step, naming all the... I just hated it. It didn't jive with me. To me, that wasn't math. It was as boring as history at the time. I hated history, too. History was just memorizing names, dates, places. It had no meaning to me. It was just, very tedious. I couldn't stand it. So, that's why I hated geometry, even though it is a very interesting subject. The way they teach it, though, I didn't like it. Just give me the math, the basic formulas, fine. But don't ask me to write out proofs and theorems and all the steps. To me, it was just ridiculous. Anyway, they probably do that on purpose to make it boring and tedious. 23 is the TCP/IP port used for Telenet and is the default for the Telenet command. There's only 23 people that are allowed in, I don't even know if they do that anymore, but the old AOL chat rooms. 23 was the number. Maximum number. There's 23 buildings on the Microsoft campus in Red 23. It's also known as Word Bible. The Adventist Church has their own Bible now. For years, they condemned the Jehovah's Witnesses for having their own Bible, the New World Translation, because they said, and rightly so, that the Jehovah's Witnesses just basically rewrote the Bible to fit their preconceived doctrinal belief system. Well, the Adventist Church has now done the same thing. It's called the Clear Word Translation. They don't even call it a transliteration. No, they call it a translation. It's not a translation. And one of the best ways to prove that is just look at Daniel 8:14 in the Clear Word Bible. It's a huge paragraph, whereas, in other Bibles, it's only one sentence, one short sentence that we, like what we just read. They do the same thing in other parts of the book too, but that's the most obvious example to make their doctrine sound more convincing. It's so pathetic the way they take advantage of people's gullibilities, and there's some Adventists that's the only Bible they use. It's whatever. Why read the goddamn thing to begin with? It's all a bunch of crap, unless, like myself, you're just reading it to expose it as the fraud that it is. But Adventists only read their sanitized, adventized, whatever. Anyway, the most frequent numbers in the book of Revelation are 4. The powerful beasts that are mentioned. 7, the 7 seals, the 7 churches, 7 trumpets, on and on. And 12, the 12 apostles, 12 foundation stones, the 12 gates of the city of New Jerusalem, whatever. But it's interesting because if you add these 3 big numbers, 4, 7, 12, the most important numbers, they come out to 23. All right, guys, short break, be right back. All right, guys, welcome back. In Islam, we find the same thing. The Quran was supposedly revealed in a total of 23 years to Muhammad. Principia Discordia, the sacred text of the Kabbalistic Discordianism cult, holds that 23, along with the Discordian prime 5, is one of the sacred numbers of Eris, god of discord. Oh, Jesus. Well, there you go. That, probably more than anything else, is the reason why 23 is so popular today and pushed by cultists. It stands for discord, and oh, do they love that word. So 23 is seen to pop up so often. According to Aleister Crowley's Kabbalistic Dictionary, he defines the number 23 as the number of parting, removal, separation, joy, a thread, and life. Those are his own words. So it had a multitude of meanings, but nevertheless, a very important number to Mr. Crowley. Mr. Crowley, yeah, whatever. The address of the Freemasons Lodge in Stafford, England, is 23 Jail Road. In New York, it's on 23rd Street. Very interesting. Henry Price is buried in the cemetery of Townsend, Massachusetts. His monument is an obelisk that measures 69 inches tall. Or is that feet? Yeah, it's feet. When you have two apostrophe marks, it's feet, I believe, and the single one is inches, if I remember right. Anyway, 69 inches, or 69, yeah, so, yeah, that would have to be 69 inches, not feet. 69 inches tall, I had it in the reverse, the two lines are two apostrophe marks, stand for inches, the single. Yeah. Anyway, 69, of course, divided by 3 is 23. On the side of the monument facing west, it says, quote, Henry Price, founder of the duly constituted masonry in America. So, naturally, 23 figures big in his monument. On the east face, it says, born in London about 1697. We moved to Boston about 1723, appointed provincial grand master of New England in 1733. The monument is carved on 2 faces made of 3 pieces, base, block, and capstone. So the number 23 popping up over and over again. Actually, it kind of makes sense. In this sense, too, that it's big in the occult world. 3 is big in the occult world. And then 10 up from that, you get 13, which is big. 10 up from that, 23, which is big. And then, of course, finally, 33. From that, you would almost have to conclude that Kabbalistic occultists start counting from the number 3. You know. And so, starting with 3, which is, again, an important occult number, then, you know, 10 digits later, that's important. 13, 10 digits later, that's important. 23, 10, you know, on and on. Interesting. The Templars had only 23 Grand Masters. Jacques de Molay was the 23rd and last of the Templar Grand Masters. Very interesting. October 13th, course, 10 plus 13 equals 23, is the month and day that the Knights Templar, you know, were arrested in France, hence Friday the 13th being considered, you know, a day of bad luck. Most likely that's where that originated. But the day 10-13, course, gives you 23. There's 23 chapters of the Cult Awareness Network. That's a bad figure. 2 divided by 3 equals 0.666, by the way. Interesting. April 19th is big in the occult world, as well as being the date of many tragic events in history, such as you know, the Waco thing, Oklahoma City bombing, blah, blah, blah. April 19th is, of course, 4/19. Four plus nine, of course, equals 23. So 4/19 is another number 23, geometrically speaking. The days on which the signs of the zodiac begin and end are the 22nd and 23rd of most months. So it's big in the astrology world. That makes sense. Coming back to the NASA Apollo missions, we already saw the number 13 figured in with that. Well, the number 23 pops up too. The Apollo 1 unmanned craft landed on the moon, we're told, in the Sea of Tranquility at 2363 degrees east. Get that number 23 in there again. Apollo 2 landed in the ocean of storms at 23 degrees 42 minutes west. Notice the names of the picked sites, too. And how they contrast. Ocean of Storms and Sea of Tranquility, ladies and gentlemen. Are you kidding me? Are they not playing with your mind there? Is your dualism theme, you know, good and bad, perfect blend of the two? That's big in Freemasonry. But both of them were on 23rd freaking parallel. In Russia, in its space program, number 23 figures in as well. Again, why should that surprise us? Who's always run that freaking country since 1917? On March 14th, 1997, NASA representative stated that MIR 23 space station was having problems resulting from the February 23rd, 1997 fire, and that it used 23 of their oxygen-generating canisters. It was the 23rd day aboard for the Russian crew when this happened. The what was called Progress 233 supply vehicle, had problems of its own, we were told, when it couldn't redock with the MIR. So how do you like that? Number 23 popping up yet again. So the Russian space program, as well as the U.S. space program, heavily focused around occultic numbers like 23, 13. 23 pops up quite a bit in history as well. For example, we're told that Julius Caesar was stabbed 23 times. Airplane disaster, disasters have the number 23. For example, the TWA 800 downing that took place in 1996 off the coast of New York. We're told that 230 people died on board that plane. So geometrically speaking, 230 is 23. Drop to zero, it's no value. By the way, the two recovered seats from TWA 800 with shrapnel damage were seats 23J and 23K. The explosion is theorized to have occurred at this location, the 23-seat location. Are you kidding me? Incredible. Anyway. Let's see. Shakespeare was born on April 23rd, 1564, and died on April 23rd, 1616. What are the chances of that? You know, did he see to it, or did others see to it for him that he died on the same damn date because it had important occult significances? December 23rd, 1913 was the date of the passage of the Federal Reserve Act, ladies and gentlemen. Oh yeah, that's all coincidence, isn't it? December 23rd, 1913.
Oh, by the way,
the 1913, the two was significant, I'm sure. They planned it out. Have it happen on that year for a reason. I like the number 13, and it happened to be December 23rd. General Custer achieved the rank of general at the young age of 23, the youngest general in the U.S. Army at the time. 23. Hiroshima was bombed, we're told, on August 6, 1945. 8 plus 6 plus 4 plus 5 equals 23. In Hollywood, no surprise, the number 23 pops up big time. As already mentioned, quote, the number 23 was the title of a 2007 film starring Jim Carrey. In The Matrix Reloaded, the architect tells Neo that it's of utmost importance to choose 23 people to repopulate Zion. 23 people. The Matrix Reloaded. Unbelievable, man. In Jeepers Creepers, the creeper appears every 23 years for 23 days to feast on human flesh. 23, ladies and gentlemen. In the film Vantage Point, all flashbacks take place 23 minutes before the assassination attempt on the president. 23. As revealed in the Japanese film L Change the World, 23 is the maximum number of days that a person may live before he dies by the cause of writing his name in what is called the death note. So the Japanese in that film got in on the act too. The Academy Award-winning film Charlie is the story of a low-grade moron who's transformed by neurosurgery into a superhuman genius, IQ 200+. In the crucial operation scene, the number on the operating room is visible, and of course, it's number 23. In the epic cartoon Yellow Submarine, the blue meanies are comprised of a wild pack of destructive anti-music villains. Among them is a character named the Butterfly Stomper. Butterfly being, of course, a symbol of transformation. It's big in the MKUltra world, right? The Monarch. The Butterfly Stomper, anyway, is one who destroys all things of beauty. On his shirt is the number 23. So does 23, amongst other things, represent destroying all things of beauty? Well, the powers that that be in this world definitely are into destroying all things of beauty, aren't they? So if that's what the number means to them, well, no wonder they're so fascinated with it. In the movie Airport, the mad bomber has seat 23. In the movie Babe, the little piggy is 23rd contestant for the sheepdog contest, 23. The movie Die Hard 3, in this movie the train derails in subway station number 23. In the movie Hackers, the data which causes all the action is taken from, quote, data bank 23. My. You know, how many times you got to see the same number reoccurring before you realize something's going on here? This stuff just goes right over the head, like so much else of your average dope. In the film Invasion of the Body Snatchers, 1978, the first trash truck scene transporting pods is labeled number 23. In the film Lawrence of Arabia, Anthony Quinn's character proclaims that he has 23 wounds upon his body. In David Lynch's film Lost Highway, Fred's number in the jail is 47516. You add those digits together, you get 23. In Oliver Stone's Nixon, Tricky Dick's football jersey at Whittier is number 23. In the film Quiz Show, a waiter chooses 23 when asked for a random number. And the contestant follows with a list of 23 related facts to show his knowledge base. In the final assault on the Death Star, Luke Skywalker is in Red 5. Red 2 and Red 3 start the bomb runs at 23 degrees. Jesus, man. You know, how many things like this need to be shown before you realize what's going on? The cell block mirror princess Leia. Oh, I'm sorry. The cell block where Princess Leia was held on the Death Star was AA-23 on level 5. You know, where she was being interrogated in the original film, and then Darth Vader blows up her home planet, whatever. AA-23 was the room. When Luke Skywalker is in the trench during his bombing run, the first number that you see on the targeting computer is 23. The next scene that shows the computer shows the number 32, the reverse of 23. But again, the number 23 popping up over and over and over in the Star Wars film. In the film, support your local gunslinger, James Garner's character, who despises roulette, announces that he has an irresistible urge to bet on the number 23. From there, 23 becomes a running gag through the rest of this comedy western. Whatever. 23. The number on Adam Sandler's helmet in Happy Gilmore is 23. And then finally, coming back to Star Wars again, in the first movie, oh, actually, I already mentioned this. The detention block, AA 23. I mentioned that again, but anyway. Naturally, Hollywood guys, who runs Hollywood? Naturally, 23 pops up all over the place in Hollywood. Moving on to music. Several songs and albums use the number 23 as their titles, including Tristan Prettyman's debut album, the 11th song from Tool's fourth full-length studio album, 10,000 Days, Viginti Tres, which is Latin for 23. The band Blonde Redhead has the album 23 and the song, you know, by the same title, 23. Jimmy Eat World's song 23 appeared on their album Futures. The number also appears in the songs Christmas Card and 12-23-95, as well as the same items of clothing, you know, produced by the band, the number 23, all over the place. Four Tet and Yellow Card both have songs titled 23. The Poisies have a record called Dear 23. Jeez. The Church's 2009 studio album is called Untitled Number 23. That's the band, the Church's, whatever, the Church. The first song on side A of the Beatles' first album took 23 takes to record. Regarding the Irish band U2, U is the 21st letter in the alphabet, and when added with the number 2, of course, yields 23. That where the you know, the U2 boats got the number from, maybe without them even realizing it. It was done from high levels up the ladder without anybody lower down the ladder knowing what was going on. But was U2 chosen? It's like KKK guys. KKK is frickin' 33, 311s. Okay, third letter, the 11th letter of the alphabet. Sure. So that would make sense. U and 2, you get your 23. The band Psychic TV made the Guinness Book of World Records by releasing the most amount of albums in the shortest time period. 23 albums in 23 months, and on the 23rd of each month, these albums came out. Holy crap. That's 3 23s. Which, by the way, interestingly enough, is the number 69, isn't it? 3 23s. I just thought of that. They like that number, too. You think it's by accident, ladies and gentlemen, that if you want to call someone back who just called you, you star 69 it. That means exactly, you know, you just did me, so I'm going to do you type of thing. You just called me, I'm going to call you back. Star 69. it has the very sexual connotation to it. The number 69 does. They did that on purpose. The 911 call, and we have our little terror attacks on 911. Oh, Jesus. It's not that 9/11 mimicked the 911 call. 911, guys, has always been a big occult number, 9 and 11. That's why they chose the 911 number for emergencies. Some people think that 9/11 was planned just because of, you know, it's psychological warfare. It's an emergency, and 911 is the emergency call. No, 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 no. 911 has always had important occult meaning. So, yeah, the 9/11 date was chosen for occult reasons, but nothing to do with the 911 call. The 911 number itself was picked for occultic reasons. Anyway, moving on to sports. The number 23 has been retired for quite a few prominent athletes. Michael Jordan wore number 23, with the exception of a short period of time when he played professional basketball with the Chicago Bulls and later the Washington Wizards, but it's now retired. LeBron James, who plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers, also wears the number 23. Australian cricketer Shane Warne wore the number 23 during his career. Don Mattingly of the New York Yankees wore number 23. The New York Yankees retired the number in 1997. Interesting that so many of these numbers have been retired. I mean, these plays have been retired. All right, guys, another break. Right back.